Well, welcome everyone. It's so glad to see everyone. It's a beautiful day. God is good to us. People in the north are buried under snow and we're having 80. God loves us. Yes. So I'm going to go ahead and get started so that we won't run excessively late tonight. So I'm going to pray and we'll start the evening. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We just worship you. We welcome your holy presence. We welcome Jesus, the Spirit of prophecy, into the room. Lord, we just ask for your gift tonight. Lord, just bless each one who's come. And I just ask you to activate the mantle of prophecy on their life right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's going to be a great night. It is. It really is. And we're going to have fun. Because everywhere God is fun. Don't you think? I do. So I'm going to invite Deborah to come up. And before we do the dream interpretation, we'll take a break there and we'll take an offering and talk about things that are coming up for the ministry, and then we'll do the dream interpretation. So here you go.
How's everybody this evening? I'm going to open in prayer too. Father God, I thank you that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We invite you to be absolute Lord in this meeting. Father God, we praise you that you give us Holy Spirit as a pledge and as a seal. Father God, we ask that you would teach us more and more how to get self out of the way and allow Holy Spirit to move. We praise and we thank you for a strong prophetic atmosphere tonight, that there are angels in this room and supernatural things will happen purely because you're here. You're a supernatural God. We praise you that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father God, thank you that you told us that we can all prophesy and that we're eagerly to desire to prophesy. And Father God, that the best teacher is precious Holy Spirit. I've prepared, but all of you, Lord, and none of me. Father God, we thank you for what you're going to do. Father God, we know that you don't call us here on an evening to waste any time. And Father God, we come expectantly for how you'll use us to bless others. And then in turn, we know the way you operate, we'll turn around and be blessed purely because that's who you are. We praise and we thank you for this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to start a little bit different tonight. I want you to give someone a hug next to you because they're probably going to prophesy over you. If they're not your enemy, just hug somebody. Doesn't that help let our guards down a little bit? I also want to commend you on coming consistently. Remember that it's through practice we learned a couple weeks ago. You're going to keep getting better and better. And I've heard good reports from people. It's getting stronger. It's getting better. Remember that the gift was given to us. We're not getting a better gift or more gifted. We're just learning how to use the gift that was given to us, right? I'm just going to briefly, we didn't get through all the notes last week, and I knew we wouldn't because the various ways that God speaks is, you know, I'm sure I don't have everything written down. I know that in the next couple months he'll do something different and completely surprise me, and that's what we love about our God, isn't it? He's God and we're not. We learned that it was normal to communicate spirit to spirit, heart to heart, and that because we're sheep, that's how we'll hear our shepherd's voice, and that we're commanded to hear his voice. And we talked about how it's unique for each one of us. Some of us may be stronger in the hearing, some in the seeing. I talked about how I mainly heard in the beginning, and every time I saw a vision, I thought it was of the devil. You know, and actually I was meditating on that as I was getting this lesson ready, as to the original visions God started giving me were all of him laughing in heaven. And here's what he said to me. He said, the reason I was laughing is because the very thing you were saying no to was the thing I was going to mantle you to teach. Oh, thanks a lot, Lord. And I said no to him for quite a season, but I'm saying yes now. You know, thank you for removing those blinders, Lord. We talked about obstacles to hearing. We talked about unbelief and how we say, well, our experience is the truth. And that's wrong right from the start. That prayer is really a dialogue, not a monologue, okay? We talked about busyness and the choice of wanting to hear, and then being guarded so we don't have a hard heart towards our God. We got through probably about 6 or 7 of the different ways that God speaks, but the primary one, the one that we need to have a good grasp on, is the written word of God. That is how I was stretched so far, is I would say, God, you've got to show me this in Scripture. And if he could give me at least 2 verses, then I was open to the experience I was having. We talked about repetition, about divine coincidence or intersections in the spirit where two things come together and you know it's got to be God speaking to you. We talked about object lessons where God will use something in everyday life to teach you a spiritual principle. We talked about nature and creation. And it was funny because the other day, I think it was yesterday, I was on my way to church and a bird was flying right along with me. And I go, oh, Lord, I love when you do that. He's only done that probably about 4 times. But I always say, yes, Lord, I'm going to fly with you. We talked about how God talks through time, time on a clock. And then we ended up with peace being our administrator. One of my favorite ones is peace. As I take some of these groups out to the mall, we just turn, go to the left, go to the, which one, we see which way we have peace. A lot of what we've been learning to do through Holy Spirit in the marketplace is being led by his peace. Walk over to a person, do we have a peace to approach that person? So God has been using that one a whole lot in the outreaches that I've been leading. Today we're going to talk about puns and plays on words. This is an interesting one because God will often use puns and plays. Now, I'm just getting into the Hebraic way of reading the Word of God and studying the Word, but in the original language, he used puns regularly. I talked to somebody today and they said, oh, yes, in the original Hebrew, if you knew how to read it, you would see how he was playing around with words. I'm going to give you one example. It's in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, and it says this, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see the rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. So what did the Lord mean? He's watching over his word to perform it. What does that have to do with the rod of an almond tree? Well, if you would read this in Hebrew, you would see that he was playing around with words. He literally said this. When the Lord asked Jeremiah what he saw, Jeremiah would have said, shaked, which is almond tree. And then the Lord said this back to him, you have seen well, for I will shakad. I'm watching over. So he changed the pronunciation and the way he used the word just a little to mess around with Jeremiah. God uses the similarity between two words to speak about how he was watching over his word. I would think if I were Jeremiah, I would remember that. I remember after the last presidential election, something very unique happened to me. I was, probably about 20 years ago, I decided I wanted to collect something. I had my best friend back then, we said, let's collect teacups. Yeah, let's collect teacups and teapots. So I have lots of teacups and teapots in my home. And when I first started teaching Bible study, I would lay out teacups and prayer meetings. And then life got busy and I stopped doing that. But it was right after the election. And the Lord hadn't taken me off my post, even though our president was elected. And here's what he said to me. He kept saying the word tea party. Now, I thought he was telling me to have a tea party. I said, what are you telling me to have a tea party? What are you saying? Because he was saying the words tea party. This was probably the day after the election. Now, and so in my mind, as things start unfolding, I go, are we going to have a Boston Tea Party? Is there going to be something like that? And now if you follow any of the conservative news, what are we seeing? That there's a possible party coming forth called the Tea Party. But knowing God, he isn't done. I'm still asking him, what do you mean? You know, do I have a part in this? And he'll unfold it. But that was right after the last presidential election. I mean, the word Tea Party hadn't even come up yet. This happened literally last week with me. Talk about a play on words. Oh, I'm playing around with my heart. I've homeschooled my children, and I've taught them from day one that they're going to find their mate the biblical way. You'll just know, I'll tell them. You won't have to date. You won't have to get your heart broken. You won't have to have any of the pain I had. So I've, for years, right? So my daughter comes home on Valentine's Day with flowers, like from college. And I'm like, what's going on? And I said, do you know this person? She goes, oh, yeah, I know this person. I said, where do you know this person from? And she said, Champions Forest Baptist Church. He's a bass guitarist on their worship team. He's on staff with them. And I'm like, okay, what's going on? And she said, well, Mom, I'm in a hurry. And she was. She comes at 3-something. That's to be the work at 4. She goes, I'll talk to you later. So I was supposed to be coming here. And she wants to talk about this young gentleman. So she tells me about him and says, he wants to meet you. He's real nervous, but he wants to meet you. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. She's bringing this means. I said, Carrie, you know what we've talked about. She goes, yes. At first, I had no interest, but there could be something here, Mom. Okay. So I come home Friday night from the outreach and put my little jammy things on, and he shows up at the door. Oh, so I got to talk to this young man for a while. So I come in here on Saturday, and it asked us to come early, and I said, please pray for me. My daughter's getting in that stage. Now, I don't think Coco's here. So I rarely get prophetic words. I'm the one giving them. So the evening, I'm getting the recorders, and she goes, oh, Debbie, the Lord has a prophetic word for you. Come here. And she's looking at me, and she goes, I see a wedding. Do you want to know that my heart dropped to my stomach? And then she said, it's your son. I went, oh, Lord. So I go home and I tell my daughter. She thought it was hysterical. She said, God was playing with you. I said, yes, he was. All the times I've gotten a word, he could have said something about a wedding. And the word really was for me. It was a very sweet word about the bride my son would marry, who's older. But the first word she goes is, I see a wedding. And then there was a pause. And I went, you've got to be kidding. I just met the man last night. She's only 18 years old. That I wish I had, he'd show me a video of what my face looked like when she said, I see a wedding. God likes to play with words. Do you see how he's playing? And he's done this over the years with me. And there'll be times I'm walking around my house, my husband will go, what are you laughing at? And I said, it's a private joke between God and I, because he's punning and playing. Does anybody else have that happen? Yeah. See, he knows that I love to laugh. We're a very fun, laughing, joyous family, teasing each other. I said to a good friend, I said, the only thing about God is I can't get back to him. I can't get back on him. I can't do anything to me, know anything I'm figuring out in my mind. Because usually when someone in my family does something to me, one of my children, I'll be thinking, oh, I don't know how I'll get back on them. You can't do that with God. We're going to talk a little bit about visions. Actually, I should say a big bit, because this is a big deal in Scripture. In John chapter 3 is the story where Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And in the first through third verse, it says this. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom. You know, Nicodemus, I think, is a lot like us. How are you doing what you're doing? You've got to be of God. You're doing something. And Jesus turned the whole conversation around to say, well, if it's the kingdom, you should see it. He said that the kingdom again and again was tied to seeing. And that word in the Greek is to see with the eyes, spirit, with the mind. He's literally talking about seeing something. Okay? There are several types of visions I'm going to talk about tonight. I put them in 3 categories. Some people put them in 2. I just felt like the Holy Spirit said to put them in three, and I think you'll see why I put it in three different categories. We see, as we go through Scripture, that he spoke in visions through both the Old and the New Testament, right on through the whole thing, okay? Visions are generally a higher level of revelation than an impression we might get, because he's showing you a picture, and it get, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words, right? In visions of the mind, what the Lord does is he'll project images and pictures onto the screen of our minds. We can call this a sanctified imagination, or an imagination under the influence of Holy Spirit. Most often, you'll see this is how Holy Spirit wants to speak. How many of you get mainly pictures when we're doing prophetic words here? Okay, not quite half, but okay, yeah, good. In Acts 2:17, it says, I will pour forth of my spirit, and here's what he says. Your young men will see visions. The first thing God is telling us in the pouring forth of the spirit is we're going to see something, okay? Looking for vision as we're praying, as we're abiding with God, is not a new concept. In Genesis 15, Abraham looked towards the heaven. He was getting his eyes fixed on something. Daniel looked towards Jerusalem, didn't he, when he was praying? In Habakkuk, he said that he would stand and keep watch to see what God would speak. He knew he was going to get a vision and that God was going to speak to him through that vision. That's Habakkuk 2, 1 and 3. John looked inwardly for vision in Revelation 4. He heard a voice say, come up here and I will show you what must take place. Jesus spoke several times of both John chapter 5 and John chapter 8 about doing and speaking to things he saw. We know that Jesus was so in sync with Father, he always either heard or saw exactly what the Father was doing. Okay? The ability to see in the Spirit is the primary sense by which we perceive the spiritual dimension. Since our walk with the Lord is a heart-to-heart, spirit-to-spirit relationship, we would expect and should expect this faculty to be central to our entire relationship with God. Unfortunately, it's not being used as it should because we've been trained to live how in the Christian, in the sensory realm or out of logic, okay? Logic, rational thinking, instead of what? The world of heart impressions, dreams, visions. I mean, I don't think I've ever, it's rare over the years that I've been a Christian that I've been with a group of Christians and they bring up a dream. Don't you think that'd be the, right? But now that I'm studying all this stuff, I'm like, wow, this should be like the main thing that we talk about. Now, my kids talk more and more about, I had a dream, and I'm always wanting to know what they had. If we're going to allow our hearts to be released, we need to learn to tap into the dream and vision realm. We need to say, yes, Holy Spirit, I'm willing to cooperate with you. God wants to communicate through the eyes of our heart, giving us these dreams and visions and godly imagination. But first we must recognize that this sense within us is given from him and the importance it's to have. Remember, I said I kept saying no to it. I kept telling God no. No wonder I heard so well because he said, well, I'll come in another door. I'll talk to her a lot. Okay? Now he's doing both equally. In fact, I say I've switched. I see more. I see more than I've ever seen. Like, it's normal. And if I look real hard, I almost every time can see angels in a room. It's rare that I don't. And I thought, am I making this up? No, because I'm learning to be a looker, and a looker becomes a seer. Okay? Obviously, the eyes of our heart is a sense of our inner man, the sense of our heart. It's the one of the ways that our heart communicates. And really, if you look through Scripture, I believe it's the primary way. Okay? Our ability to think in pictures and images is extremely important to walking in the fullness. You know, if God's doing something consistently and you keep cutting off that part, let's look at the whole realm of our walk with God as 100%, but you keep cutting off, let's just say 30%. We're missing out on a whole lot. I mean, when I was at the mall, I would just look at someone and I'd key in on them. Because I knew he was going to show me a picture. And he did. If I looked, I slowed down and would be talking, but looking at the same time, I could see in the spirit what was going on. I didn't know to do that a couple years ago. I was waiting just, now I'm like, okay, I'm looking for it, Lord. Our ability to thinking these pictures and images, remember, will lead us to the fullness. How many of you have been asking God for the fullness? I knew there'd probably be a good part. Like the fullness. Okay. Fullness is tied. You can't cut out the images and the pictures and say, I'm not willing to go there and expect to walk in the fullness, especially with Jesus being very clear that the kingdom was about seeing. You can see the kingdom. Okay. Maturity in the Lord involves knowing how to present our logical faculties and our visual faculties to Holy Spirit to be used by Him. The results will be this: Spirit-led reasoning, godly imagination, visions, and dreams. Okay? That's not that we check our mind at the door or anything like that. Okay? He'll lead me. He leads me to pull books off my shelf, you know, dictionaries, all different types of things. Now, I started primarily there. Now, really for many years now, I'm Spirit-led. I can't say I pick up one book all the time outside the Bible. It just doesn't happen. But when it comes to my mind, I know He's saying, go get that book because I'm going to show you something in that book. Okay, versus like I'll pull off 12 books. That's how I started. I'll pull these books because these are my favorites, and I'll line them all up. And I used to do that. We all got to start somewhere, right? I want to talk to you about if there's any doubt on the validity of dreams and visions, and that being a primary way that God wants to talk to you. If you really looked up the words dreams, visions, see, look, and eyes, there are literally multiplied hundreds. I started looking this up probably 2 years about now when I started looking up anything on dreams and visions. I've hardly touched the list that I have of all those things. I could not believe once I started looking for it how much it's in there. You could start marking your Bible and going, here it is again. Here it is again. He saw something. Many times the prophet would say, I see. Okay? Now, I want to talk about when you first begin to look for vision, because I got pretty serious about 2 years ago with this. And it seemed awkward. Actually, I thought I was trying to make it happen. Anybody been there, done that? Trying to make it happen? Well, that's what I thought, but you know what it was? My sense of seeing had atrophied because I never used it. Okay, here God gives this to you. You know you have it, but then I'm a Christian and He's trying to get me to look and see, and I'm thinking it's the devil. Okay, so I had to repent of not using it, and we're going to do that tonight. Okay, because it seems a little awkward in the beginning and unfamiliar, I was suspicious. I kind of would put it aside, and then it would pop up again. And I'd go, no, I know this is Lord. Especially when I knew I was asking a question and a picture came, okay? And so as I gave in more and more and more, and now it's like I can hardly believe how easy it comes when I look, I'll say, is anything going on here, Lord? And He'll show me something in the spirit realm. I want to talk to you about the three types of visions, and then we're going to do an activation, because I always like to give you two activations. Practice, practice, practice. The first one is glimpses in the spirit. These would probably be the normal thing most of you get. It's a fleeting internal picture that you receive from the Lord. They're usually brief. Sometimes they're like a split second. It's still. It's not moving. Just like a flash of something. Okay? But God can speak powerfully because the picture's worth 1,000 words. Many are symbolic. When you get them, my thing is like, Lord, what is that? And He usually answers me. He'll usually say, here, He gives me an answer if I ask on the inside. Okay? The second time is a gentle internal vision or a strong internal vision. Now, they're a little bit stronger and they're more than just a still picture. You might see, I'll give you an example. Anna was teaching here Saturday night, and as she was teaching, I saw something in the spirit and it was moving. There was movement to what God was showing me about a ministry He's taking her into. So I went over and I told her afterwards what I saw. It wasn't just one. As I looked, movement came to the picture. Okay? So that would be, that one was more gentle. It wasn't very strong. Okay? They can be stronger where they get repeated. I've had that where there's a repeat to them. Okay? Now this type of vision, because if there's movement to it, if you get distracted, then it stops the whole thing. I've had that happen. I've had that a lot with sometimes trying to watch the angels. I'll get in there and one of the kids will get in the room and I'll see that they're doing something specific and I want to see what they're doing. And I'll tell you what, it'll leave just like that. It's almost like somebody shut the TV screen off. Okay, somebody's had those too? Yeah. The third one is an open vision. Now these visions are received when your eyes are open and are not stopped by distractions. These visions can start and continue even when you're involved in something else, driving a car, something like that. This experience is similar to seeing a scene acted out physically on a movie. I've only really had one of these where I was actually on the treadmill, and this was a couple years ago, and I was in the vision. And literally God was playing a game with me. He likes to play games with me. He had banqueting tables set up, and I could just see, I mean, it just went on and on and on, but I could see the master peering around the corner like, are you going to look at that? Or you want to come after me? So I chased him. And I'm on the treadmill. I'm on the treadmill, but in my vision, I'm chasing God. And he literally took me to different rooms in the spirit. Very vibrant colors. But the goal was, I know he chased him. And the funny thing is, he did it when I was walking on the treadmill. Okay? That's the only open vision I've ever personally have. Anybody else have any open visions in here? Anybody? Okay, so one, two, three, four. Four of us. Okay. Time for an activation. Okay? Say yay. Yay. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what we're gonna do with this one. And then you're gonna find someone you don't know very well. In this particular activation, I want you to be very purposeful when you're prophesying to the person, and I want you to use these words. I saw, or I heard, you might hear a word, I sensed, or I felt. You're going to get something, and it's probably going to be different for all of you. So what we're going to ask God for is to give the person you're prophesying to a destiny word. And you're going to either see something, feel something, hear something, sense something. Okay, and I want you to, after you get it, say, oh, well, how did he talk to me? Either seeing, feeling, hearing, sensing. Okay? Father God, in Jesus' name, I bind fear. And I say it has no place in here. I loose boldness, courage. Father, I release that spirit of revelation, and we thank you for the prophetic spirit here, Father. We thank you, Father God, that you're the best teacher. Father God, I praise and I thank you for everyone that will be built up in this exercise in Jesus' name. So, now remember, Romans 8:14 says this, for all who are being led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. You're learning more and more how to step into your sonship as you're learning to be led by the Spirit. Remember, does anybody remember what the goal was of the prophetic? Does anybody remember what my very first lesson I started with the goal? Through relationship. You know why God lets us do this? So we can know him better and better, right? And you know why he lets us do it for others? So that they can want to know him better and better too, right? So if we keep that, okay, and we're moving in love, and it's okay. Let's say out loud together, I give everyone permission to practice on me. Please relax. Okay. All right? So I don't want anybody being fearful. Okay, stand up and get with somebody quickly who you don't know. You don't know very well. We'll take it off hold. Everybody have somebody? Okay. Everybody have somebody? Okay, turn your eyes towards me. Now remember, I sense, I feel, I heard. Okay, and Father God, we ask that you release a destiny ward. I want the taller person to go first. You're going to be prophesying first.